VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
We do thank you for joining us on Crosstalk today as we, well, kind of reflect upon the debate of last evening, quite tense at times. As a matter of fact, the debate, it was said to be fiery from one end to the other as President Donald Trump and the nominee Joe Biden attempted to address each other, sometimes attacking each other in some pretty personal terms, that debate 90 minutes long. But before we talk about some of the content of the debate itself, we're going to be talking about the moderator here for just a moment as well, because it's a situation that leading right up to this, those who had Fox News on heard Britt Hume say that Chris Wallace was the best debate moderator ever. But many changed their opinion of that through the course of the night as it became very clear that President Trump was actually taking on a couple of opponents. At the outset of what would have been dubbed the most important debate and the most important presidential campaign in recent history, according to the WND.com, Chris Wallace lost control. He said, "I'm the moderator of this debate, and I would like to ask my question." He said at one point, during one exchange, Wallace again interjected, "Gentlemen, do you realize you are both speaking at the same time?" Another time, he said, "Let's try to be serious about the debate, for the sake of the American people." Well, President Trump tried to reply to a statement by Biden, and Wallace interrupted the president. "You know, sir, if you want to switch seats, we could do that," Wallace said. Very interesting indeed. Well, Wallace was criticized online by not only his network colleagues, but others as well, following his position that he took during the debates last evening. But immediately out of the gate, both Wallace and President Trump shared a pretty tense moment when the moderator asked the president about a comprehensive health care plan. Let's just review this.
Administration, along with 18 state attorneys general, are seeking to overturn Obamacare, to end Obamacare. You have spent the last...
Because they want to give good health care.
If I may ask my question, sir.
Good health care.
Over the last 4 years, you have promised to repeal and replace Obamacare, but you have never in these 4 years come up with a plan, a comprehensive plan to replace Obamacare.
Of course I have.
Well,
I got rid of the individual mandate, which was
that
a big chunk of
Obamacare.
That is absolutely a big thing. That was the worst part of Obamacare. Chris, that was the worst part of Obamacare.
Let me ask my question.
Well, I'll ask Joe.
The individual mandate
was the most unpopular aspect of Obamacare. I got rid of it.
I'd like
and we will protect
Mr.
people.
President, I'm the moderator of this debate, and I would like you to let me ask my question, and then you can answer your question.
Go ahead.
You, in the course of these 4 years, have never come up with a comprehensive plan to replace Obamacare. And just this last Thursday, you signed a largely symbolic executive order to protect people with pre-existing conditions 5 days before this debate. So my question, sir, is what is the Trump health care plan?
Right. Well, first of all, I guess I'm debating you, not him, but that's okay. I'm not surprised. Let me just tell you something. There's nothing symbolic. I'm cutting drug prices. I'm going with favored nations, which no president has the courage to do because you're going against Big Pharma. Drug prices will be coming down 80 or 90%. You could have done it during your 47-year period in government, but you didn't do it. Nobody's done it. So we're cutting health care. All of the things that we've done, insulin. I give you an example. Insulin. It was destroying families, destroying people. The cost. I'm getting it for so cheap. It's like water, you want to know the truth. So cheap. Take a look at all of the drugs that what we're doing, prescription drug prices. We're going to allow our governors now to go to other countries to buy drugs because when they pay just a tiny fraction.
If I say this is open discussion, you'll be happy. I'm about to pick up on one of your points to ask the vice president, which is he points out that you would like to add a public option to Obamacare. And
yes.
The argument that he...
Okay, so there we have that exchange, of course, but it was a supposition even of that question in which he said, you in the course of these 4 years have never come up with a comprehensive plan, and then a largely symbolic executive order. And this is why President Trump said, hey, I'm debating against two individuals here. Mark Levine said that the Chris Wallace's bias was apparent not only in the questions, but also in the way that he allowed Biden to get away with whoppers, he said. He said the moderator knows that governor shut down the economy, not the president. The moderator knows the president didn't kill over 200,000 Americans. The moderator knows that Antifa is a real group, that the science of man-made climate change is in dispute, etc. Well, it's one of the most highly anticipated events last night was this debate. But as we mentioned, didn't take long. President Trump saying 47 years, you've done nothing. And Biden said, well, will he shush for a minute? There were angry interruptions by both candidates. And then Biden said, Wallace said, let him finish, sir. And Biden said he doesn't know how to do that. At one point, Biden snapped, will you shut up, man? I've never heard that come through in a debate before. The fact is that everybody he's saying here is a lie, Trump said. It's hard to get any word in with this clown, Biden replied. Very interesting in that back and forth. But let's talk about some of the debate issues itself that transpired last evening. One of the areas of contention was over the nomination to fill the vacancy on the Supreme Court. The allegations is that the president should not have done this, that he shouldn't have, and he made it known elections have consequences. Here's what he said.
I'll tell you very simply, we won the election. Elections have consequences. We have the Senate, we have the White House, and we have a phenomenal nominee, respected by all, top academic, good in every way, good in every way. In fact, some of her biggest endorsers are very liberal people from Notre Dame and other places. So I think she's going to be fantastic. We have plenty of time, even if we did it after the election itself. I have a lot of time after the election, as you know.
President Trump last evening, and Joe Biden also responded to this issue and would not respond to the question about whether or not he would pack the Supreme Court. Here's that response.
I have one final question for you,
sure.
Mr. Vice President. If Senate Republicans, we were talking originally about the Supreme Court here, if Senate Republicans go ahead and confirm Justice Barrett, there has been talk about ending the filibuster or even packing the court, adding to the nine justices there. You call this a distraction by the president, but in fact it wasn't brought up by the president. It was brought up by some of your Democratic colleagues in the Congress. So my question to you is, you have refused in the past to talk about it. Are you willing to tell the American people tonight whether or not you will support either ending the filibuster or packing the court?
Whatever position I take on that, that'll become the issue. The issue is the American people should speak. You should go out and vote. You're in voting now. Vote and let your senators know how strongly you feel. Vote now.
Are you going to pack the
court? Make sure you, in fact, let people know your senator. I'm not going to answer the question.
Why would you answer that question?
Because the question is,
the radical left.
Okay, so that was the back and forth on that issue as former Vice President Biden would not answer the question about getting rid of the filibuster or packing the court. Matter of fact, his running mate, Kamala Harris, took to the airwaves last night and addressed this non-answer as well as she was on CBSN. Here's what she had to say.
Senator, you talked about the former vice president looking right into the camera, but his answer on court packing, adding more justices to the court, just sounds like a straight-up dodge. Why won't he talk about what he wants to do, what he thinks should happen?
Well, I think he's very clear, John, which is that he is focused, as we all should be, on the next 35 days. And he is focused on, one, the process by which we're even having the conversation about the United States Supreme Court. We all just honored, and I was there while the great Ruth Bader Ginsburg was lying in state, the first woman ever. And now we see that the president and the Senate Majority Leader are pushing through a nominee while Americans are voting. We're not even talking about a debate, as has occurred in the past, about election year. We're talking about literally during an election, almost almost a million people have voted, and they're trying to ram this nominee through, clearly for political purposes. So I think Joe was right to require the discussion to be focused on what is actually happening right now and the unfairness of it and the hypocrisy with which it is being done.
Okay, so but it is also about the plan for the future. And so, therefore, that's why the question resides there that was refused to be answered. Will you pack the court? And Kamala Harris would not respond to that other than just saying, hey, we're in election now. But the point is, President Trump is still president until next January when the inauguration takes place. And as he pointed out, he does have a Republican-controlled Senate right now, which President Obama did not have before. There was another point of contention last evening, and this is when Joe Biden made a comment about being smarter than President Donald Trump. And President Trump did not really take too kindly to his words last evening.
Unless he gets a lot smarter, a lot quicker.
Mr. President?
Did you use the word smart? So you said you went to Delaware State, but you forgot the name of your college. You didn't go to Delaware State. You graduated either the lowest or almost the lowest in your class. Don't ever use the word smart with me. Don't ever use that word.
Oh, give me a break.
Because you know what? There's nothing smart about you, Joe. 47 years, you've done nothing.
Well, let's have this debate.
And if you would have had, let me just tell you something, Joe. No, if you would have had the charge of what I was put through. I had to close the greatest economy in the history of our country. And by the way, now it's being built again.
See, and we're going to get to the economy in the next segment, sir.
Okay.
It's going up fast.
Okay. When it comes to how the virus has been handled.
Okay, so it went on from that point as well last evening. But interesting back and forth, and again, a very contentious debate taking place last evening. Joe Biden, here's a story that came out as well from the Gateway Pundit as it relates to the whole issue of the Green New Deal, which last night, Senator and former Vice President Biden said that he was in opposition to it. He told Chris Wallace that he does not support the Green New Deal. Did you hear that? But, ladies and gentlemen, that's not what's on his website. He doesn't want to get rid of oil and coal plants and weatherize 4 million buildings in the United States. Biden then said he does not support the Green New Deal. He also said that he was the Democratic Party. But if you go to the Biden-Harris website, as so many have done, Joe Biden clearly supports the Green New Deal. He believes, and it says on his website that he believes the Green New Deal is a crucial framework for meeting the climate challenges we face. Now, last night it became very clear as well. President Trump criticized for backing out of the Paris Climate Accord. Joe Biden said he would put us right back into the Paris Climate Accord. We also have coming to us from Breitbart, former Vice President Joe Biden said during his presidential debate that the country will not build any more coal or oil plants in America. He said nobody's going to build another coal-fired plant in America. No one's going to build another oil-fired power plant in America. They're going to move to renewable energy. Biden's promise that the country will not create a new coal or oil plant under his administration would significantly impact America's coal mining industries. However, to alleviate that transition from coal and oil plants, Biden said he would invest in those communities. I'll have a few more comments here. Before we open some phone lines, we'll be giving you extended time today to give your reaction to the debate last evening. But there was something else that was rather stunning that happened last night, and we'll be sharing that with you in the next segment. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY American Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, geologist and president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, when did the Ice Age happen?
Chris, the Bible doesn't mention the Ice Age by name, but it probably occurred in the several hundred years following the flood as an after effect of the flood. The waters then were probably much warmer than today and would have easily evaporated, pumping great volumes of moisture up into the atmosphere, where it would then condense and fall as snow. The snow continued to build up and packed into ice, which then could flow south, but it certainly didn't cover the entire globe. This would have been happening up through the time of Abraham. Job lived about the time of Abraham, and in the book of Job, ice and snow were mentioned more times than in any other book in the Bible. Job lived in a warm area, but he knew about the ice up in Europe. The ice age would have continued until the oceans gave up their excess heat. And that all happened back in Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
Talking about the Trump-Biden debate from last evening taking place in Cleveland, and just a few more reviews of some of the matters, then we'll be opening phone lines and let you weigh in on the issues. It was termed by some as being a surreal moment during this debate when former Vice President Biden said that Antifa is an idea, not an organization. An idea, not an organization. Now, from Andy Ngo, a reporter nearly killed by Antifa, he sent out by Twitter saying Rose City Antifa is a group, Antifa Seven Hills is a group, Antifa Sacramento is a group, Atlanta Anti-Fascist is a group, Youth Liberation Front is a group. There are many, many Antifa groups, and they are violent, he said. But again, Joe Biden defended the far-left anarchist movement Antifa as an idea, not an organization, and said that white supremacists pose a greater danger to the country during the first debate. The comments came after President Trump said someone should do something about the anti-fascist movement, saying far-left anarchists are more dangerous than the white supremacists, in response to a question by moderator Chris Wallace about whether the president will condemn white supremacists and militia groups. Another fiery exchange between the candidates came when President Trump challenged Joe Biden to name a single law enforcement group that was supporting the Biden campaign. A single group. And he pressed him and pressed him again. And he said he doesn't have any law support, no law enforcement support, almost nothing, President Trump said. Who do you have? Name one group that supports you. Biden responded, we don't have time. And then he later said, you know, that's not true, that there were no law enforcement that were backing him. It's an interesting response too. Media is calling for, contemplating that upcoming debates ought to be canceled. There was a the mainstream media, the major media, had a number of comments wondering if about the future of the debates. Wolf Blitzer saying it will certainly raise a lot of questions about the future of presidential debates between these two candidates. I wouldn't be surprised, by the way, if this is the last presidential debate between the President of the United States and former Vice President of the United States. Others also chiming in on that issue as well. But here is the shocking thing, and I did not catch this myself, but John Guandolo, former FBI agent, in an email sent this out saying, as many of you are aware, Democrat candidate for President Joe Biden recently spoke at an online Hamas M-Gage conference and told the audience 14 seconds into the speech that he wants to see more Islam taught in the schools. So, he said, while it is stunning, it appears to be a matter of course that Joe Biden invoked, inshallah, during the first presidential debate on September 29th. Inshallah is an Islamic Arabic word meaning if Allah wills it. Now, some people, perhaps you did not catch this, as I had not initially, but some have wondered, is he saying enchilada or what? But here's a statement. I'll play it for you a couple times.
And you'll get to see it.
But let me just tell you, Chris, let me just say something.
Yeah, did you catch it there? Because they're talking about President Trump's tax reforms, or tax returns, and asking when he's going to release these. And he said, inshallah. Now, let's listen to that again.
And you'll get to see it.
But let me just tell you, Chris, let me just say something.
You catch that there? Inshallah. And again, as is pointed out, inshallah is a Muslim term. A Muslim term meaning if Allah wills it, if Allah wills it. And I went online and confirmed that myself. That's what the term means. And it can be used in different ways as well, I understand. But inshallah, if Allah wills it, why would he say that? Why would he use that term in a debate? Well, let me go back, even as we shared this in a previous crosstalk. about former Vice President Joe Biden, who received the Islamic endorsement as he spoke to M-Gage. Here's what he said.
Thank M-Gage and the PAC for endorsing my campaign. I can't thank you enough for all you've done so far, and that's thank you for taking the time for watching today. Look, one of the things I think is important, I wish we taught more in our schools about the Islamic faith. I wish we talked about all the great confessional faiths. It's one of the great confessional faiths. And what people don't realize is one of my avocation is theology, don't realize is that we all come from the same root here in terms of our fundamental basic beliefs. And I just want to thank you for giving me the opportunity, for being engaged, for committing to action this November.
And he went on with his, what was about 11 and a half minute address at that time, but thanking M-Gage and thanking this Muslim group for their endorsement for his candidacy for the president. So as John Guandola pointed out, that he invoked the Islamic Inshallah, meaning if Allah wills it, when asking when he could see President Trump's tax records. He said, "This is stunning, but maybe not in light of the fact that Mr. Biden's national Islamic advisor, Farouk Mitha, is a Hamas operative." Matter of fact, he points out that this Farouk Mitha of M-Gage is Mr. Biden's national Islamic advisor, who also happened to be Hillary Clinton's national Islamic advisor. Let's just hear that clip one more time. And here we go.
And you'll get to see it. But let me just tell you, Chris, let me just say something.
If Allah wills it. Very interesting indeed. Let's open the phone lines. If you'd like to give us your reaction to the debate last evening, the Trump-Biden debate, our phone line is open here at 800-733-9829. That's 1-800-733-9829. Your reaction to the debate. Yeah, there was a lot of scrapping that was going back and forth, more than what I personally cared for in that regard. It was one in which people I know wanted to hear more substance, but a lot of back and forth that were going on a number of issues. But certainly would like to hear your reaction to the debate. If you saw it last evening and just cared to share a moment here on Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. Kenosha, Wisconsin. Dave, you're on the air.
Hi, Jim. Last night it was reflected to me of where our nation is at. Very polarized views. Trump is definitely a bulldozer. He gets his point across. I hope next time they can somehow listen a little bit more on both ends and try to be a little more civil.
Okay.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, Dave. Sunette in Lake Geneva, you're on the air.
I am calling to say I am so proud of how President Trump did not let himself get run over verbally by the moderator who was constantly interrupting him and handing the floor time to Biden. Our president was magnificent, and I want you to know I'm 77 years old. I worked for the Democratic Party until last year. I voted for Hillary until I found out more about what Trump has accomplished and saw what the Democrats did in shutting down our nation and destroying people's livelihoods and businesses and closing the schools. I thought Trump really was a very strong leader. He was not rude. He stood up to his rights in speaking out and trying to use the time that he was supposed to be given to insist upon putting forth answers to questions that he was asked, but he wasn't allowed to answer. And I'm really, really proud of how he did.
Thank you, Sunette, for your reaction. Let's go to Greg next in Oak Creek. You're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I thought the debate was kind of a disaster from just the whole get-go. But then again, President Trump basically had to debate two people at the same time. And I thought it was interesting how Biden got away with some real whopper lies. He even claimed that President Trump only paid $750 in taxes. That has been debunked a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my comment on it. Thank you.
Thank you, Greg. Let's go to Christine. You're on the air, Christine.
Yeah, it was shameful. As the last gentleman said, he did have to debate two people at one time. I even called Fox News headquarters and left my input on Chris Wallace. Shameful. Fox News itself has become quite the joke, quite the leftist. It's not at all what it was before. And I think President Trump, everything stacked against him as he had, I think he did the best he could. The frustration level was very, evident. And, hey, you know, this is exactly what I expected to happen. Okay. So, thank you.
Thank you, Christine. Let's go to Paul in Crestview, Florida. You're on the air.
I just wanted to share that Chris Wallace, I don't think, did a great job as a moderator. I think he was very unfair. I think that multiple times throughout the debate, he allowed Joe Biden to go on for minutes while he would cut Trump off the exact time that he went over 2 minutes every time. I am disappointed with Fox News, and but at the same time, I'm not surprised. And I'm glad there's a silent majority and that we will show up on voting day and that we're not going to let the liberals take over the country.
Thank you, Paul, for your comments. Brad, West Dallas, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Hey, Brother Jim. I was glad that President Trump was tough on Biden and Wallace. There's way too much of this niceness going on when it comes to conservatives versus liberals, particularly Marxists. There's a couple of things I wanted to point out. When they started asking President Trump whether he's going to call off the white supremacists, they keep bringing up that term, like he's some kind of a official representative of white supremacists somehow. Before that, he asked Biden if he was going to denounce Black Lives Matter agitator group. I don't remember him answering that question. And it never came up again. He did a lot of tap dancing, but that was it. And Kamala Harris was right about one thing. Biden was being clear about the court packing question. Biden did more tap dancing, and he dodged a lot, and that means his clear answer was, yes, I'm going to do court packing if I get the chance.
Thank you, Brad.
Thank you.
Let's see. Gary in Joplin, Missouri, you're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. Biden, he's just such a joke. I think it'd be great to put a shock collar on him that every time he lied, that it would go off and you could pay, have a pay-per-view for that and get a lot of money. But, and Kamala Harris, his running mate, she said that Ginsburg was the first female appointed. Yep. I don't think so. Wasn't it
Sandra Day O'Connor? Yeah.
Yeah, and they keep saying that, and no one corrects them that they're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And that just shows you how wrong they are. They just lie, and think that everybody's just going to ignore it.
Thank you, Gary. Let's go to Lee in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, Jim. In my opinion, this was not a debate. It was more like a boxing match, and the gloves were definitely off. In fact, I was so turned off. I turned off the TV set 5 minutes into the debate. In my opinion, Chris Wallace was an absolute disgrace. Thank you for taking my call.
Okay, Lee, thank you for your call here today as well. Getting your reaction to the debate last evening that took place, the first debate next week. The vice presidential candidates are set for a debate, and that being Mike Pence and Kamala Harris, getting underway with that. Today, though, we're getting your reaction to the debate of last evening as we heard what took place, and we are just seconds from a break, so we're going to take the break before we pick up our next call here and get more of your reaction on Crosstalk. Write the number down. The lines are all packed right now, but every time you hear a caller hang up, that opens up another line at 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. We'll be right back.
Cemeteries and mausoleums are evidence of the sad reality of death, and that each of us has a divine appointment with death. According to surveys, Americans overwhelmingly believe that heaven exists and believe that most are going there. A small number believes that hell exists, with only 0.5% believing they will go there when they die. What if those who do not believe in hell die one day and find they made a tragic and eternal mistake? In the book, Hell is for Real, author Gary Fraser discusses the separation, the suffering, and the sorrow of hell, along with future events that will unfold. There is much information given by movies, television, psychics, and even by many religious circles. Gary presents scriptural truth on this important topic. VCY is making available the book, Hell is for Real, as our way of saying thank you for your support of $15 or more. Two copies for a donation of $25. Just ask for it when you call 1-800-729-9829.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America, a day after the debate between Donald Trump and Joe Biden last evening. And one of the issues they talked about, too, was election integrity or voting integrity. And Biden suggesting it's not a concern. President Trump warning of fraud, bringing up different examples of this. And I found it interesting. WND.com today says a lawsuit has been filed against the Joe Biden campaign's Texas political director, accusing him of running an illegal ballot harvesting operation, according to two separate affidavits filed Monday at the Texas Supreme Court. Dallas Jones and his cohorts are hoarding mail-in and absentee ballots and ordering operatives to fill the ballots out for people illegally, including for dead people, homeless people, and nursing home residents. Two private investigators have testified under oath, according to National File. The investigators, a former FBI agent and a former police officer, have testified. They have video evidence, documentation, and witnesses to make their case. National File's Patrick Hulley said the affidavits were filed as part of the class action lawsuit by citizens against Harris County and the state of Texas. Jones was named the Biden campaign's Texas political director in early September. And then you head over to Minneapolis or Minnesota, allegations of ballot harvesting going on there. In the news this week, undercover video investigation by James O'Keefe's Project Veritas, featuring a source describing Representative Ilhan Omar as the mastermind behind a cash for ballots voter fraud scheme. And also in an affidavit, we have retired Houston police officer Mark Aguirre, that he is currently involved in an investigation related to a wide-ranging and fraudulent ballot harvesting scheme in Harris County intended to rig the elections in the Houston-Harris County area. And then we reported, just a few days ago about Mike Bloomberg and his paying the fees and fines for felons. Well, from WND.com, it came out yesterday that Michael Bloomberg Tuesday, was sued in court in Florida for allegedly diluting the value of citizens' votes by coordinating a campaign to raise money, pay off felons' court fees, fines, and costs, and give them back their vote. It's already raised questions about vote buying, and Larry Klayman, founder of Judicial Watch and Freedom Watch, has filed this case, explaining that the case accuses Bloomberg and others of a scheme to bribe convicted felons to vote for Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. Interesting indeed. Let's go back to the phone lines. Holding the longest, Chris in Cleveland, Ohio. Yes, hi, Chris. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. I want to thank you for shedding some light on the statement by Joe Biden.
Yeah.
I didn't know what he was talking about. I thought it was just another one of his gaffes. But over the years, especially when Obama and Biden were in office, there's been a hidden agenda to get Islamic teaching in our schools, and there was problems with, you know, parents taking their kids out of classes because they didn't want their children to learn from the Quran. We can't go over to their country and teach out of the Bible. But the biggest threat to the American democracy is the coexistence with Sharia law, and it will happen someday, but it'll come through our Democratic Party that wants to take and do all this power grabbing for a big voter base, and that's their future, is illegals and others to join their voter base and literally do a power grab in this country. People will really, really regret. And like I said, I want to thank you again for shedding some light on Joe Biden's comment there. Like I said, I didn't know what that meant.
Yeah, it means if Allah wills. Thank you, Chris, for the call. And certainly we've heard the warnings from Usama Dakak, from Shahram Haidian, a former Muslim, just indicating this very aspect that the Sharia and the U.S. Constitution, they are not compatible with one another. Let's go to Northern Wisconsin. Dean, you're on the air.
Well, hello. Is this Northern Wisconsin?
Yes. Go ahead.
I have a couple of comments. One regarding the voter fraud. Attorney General Barr was on an interview with, I saw it on YouTube. He was complaining about the voter fraud. He's saying it's an especially good chance for foreign governments to swamp the system with the false ballots. Judicial Watch, an organization, public interest organization, has sued, I believe, about 8 states because they have discovered about 1,500,000 voters that shouldn't be on the rolls. The rolls should be clean.
Mm-hmm.
Another organization found an enormous number, and I don't remember what it was, and I remember the name of the organization, of voter irregularities, potential fraud in our voting system. So when we say, I listen to PBS News, and they say, unsubstantiated claims that President Trump of voter fraud. That's just another part of the system.
Yeah.
There. No good. Regarding the climate change, I was listening to a radio program. An Indian chief was on the program. He's a chief in a nation in California. His comment was, he seemed very familiar with logging, comment was that 5,000 acres burning in California was kind of common in the 1800s. And I would also like to make a comment about there was a new book just previewed, I believe it was again on YouTube, Fox News channel, about Biden's corruption. It's all about corruption with President Biden. I wish the Republican National Committee would list a series of books that they would...
Thank you, Dee. I'm going to have to run. We're going to try and stay focused here on this topic or the debate last night. But we got a lot of your comments here. Thank you. Carl is next in Lake Delton. You're on the air.
Yeah, I watched Hannity after the debate, and one thing that Trump brought up was that the Hunter Biden and the $3.5 million that was given to him, and then he went on and talked about all the other countries, which goes into the billions of dollars. And, you know, I don't think the Democrats have ever heard of that because of the media who covers everything up.
Yeah.
One of the key parts of the debate was, I've done in 47 months with it's taken you 47 years. I've done more than you have.
Thank you, Carl. Laura in Watertown, South Dakota, you're on the air.
Yeah, thank you, Jim. Several times Chris Wallace had to remind or coach Biden of the actual topic of the question. You know, if the black Latino voters can't or won't see through the con job by former Vice President Biden as the predator he is, preying on the emotions and the fear, they are being hoodwinked, bamboozled, conned, indoctrinated. Black Lives Matter movement, Biden wouldn't even, you know, acknowledge that. They're being indoctrinated for the Muslim takeover of destroying our Constitution and our flag and replace it with their flag and Sharia law. You know, keep on fighting, Mr. President. Please, please keep on tweeting those tweets. I can count on those tweets as being right from you and not twisted by the media. I want him to keep tweeting and keep fighting with no gloves.
Thank you, Laura, for your call here. And by the way, as to a report was listed from Telemundo, a poll after the debate last night as to who won it. This is Spanish-speaking viewers of Telemundo expressed their preference of who won the debate. 66% was Trump, 34% Biden. Interesting, from Telemundo. Let's go to Glendale, Arizona. And, Joe, you're on the air.
Hi, my name is Joe Pena from Pisa. I want to say that I'm a Mexican-American. I watched the debate, and I want to know what the Bible was reading on the bottom of that card to start the debate. I want to know what the Bible was reading on the bottom of that card.
Okay, you got mixed up here then. What he was reading, I know each of the people had, the debaters had opportunity to have notes in front of them or a notebook that they were writing on. You saw that periodically, but what was exactly in front, I don't know, other than some notes that he may have available to him or written down. Elaine in Somerset, Ohio, you're on the air.
Yes, I was very disappointed in Trump last night. I thought and I'm voting for him, so, but that doesn't change the point that he was rude half the time. He wouldn't let anybody finish his sentence, and I ended up turning it off within 3 minutes, but I recorded it so I could watch it at my leisure because I get totally upset when people argue,
mm-hmm.
and it was just way too much rest on me to sit and vote or sit and listen to either one of them, because he wouldn't even allow the other guy to finish the sentence where he jumped in. And I thought that he could grow up. He knows where he stands on issues, and he doesn't need to be a bully about it.
Okay. Thank you, Elaine, for your feedback. Diana in New Lisbon, you're on the air.
Hi. The one thing that upset me very much was the moderator kept referring to Joe Biden as vice president, vice president. He never once said former vice president. And that is really disrespectful to the real vice president, who is Mike Pence. And the other thing was, you could see that Trump was just fuming because the major news networks will not give him any airtime. And when they do say anything, they'll cut him off, and they will do certain segments of things that he said, but they will never let him finish a complete sentence anyways on the regular mainstream media, so you have to hear it on some other channel. But he was trying to get certain points across that they have been lying about on the mainstream media, that he wanted to say from his own mouth what the truth was. Because they keep lying about him all the time.
Okay. Thank you for your thoughts on it. Let's go to Laura in Scottsdale, Arizona. You're on the air, Laura.
Yes, I was very disappointed with Chris Wallace. I thought he was very biased towards President Trump. I felt that even though they were arguing, I understand and I believe that President Trump was trying to get his point across. He is for the people of America. Why would he take that position? Why would he put himself in that and his family? So I was very disappointed that I felt that Mr. Wallace just threw us everything in a very, very gingerly way to Mr. Biden. So that's my point. And I am voting for Trump, President Trump.
Thank you.
Keep it up.
Thank you for your call today, Laura. Benjamin in Pasco, Washington, you're on the air.
Thank you, Jim, for taking my call.
Mm-hmm. And what would you like to say, Benjamin?
I'm praying for my nation that I will not be overcome by Muslims.
Hmm. Okay. Is that one of your takes from the debate last evening?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, certainly we need to thank you for your call hanging up there, but to expose, as Usama Dak does and Sharam Hadian and many others as well, to expose what true Islam really is. And thank you for your call here today. But remember, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And as Usama were here, said we need to reach Muslims with the gospel. Richard in Racine, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Hey, how you doing?
Fine, thanks.
Hey, good. My whole thing about it last night was, I mean, it really proved to me that Joe Biden really studied under Barack for a while to holler out Allah, like he's a Muslim or something. And then just to say Antifa was a ideal, it's like, shit, excuse my French, they're trying to flip this world upside down with anarchist moves, but it's all leading towards what Scripture said in the last days, right before the violence. And it just seemed like the Democratic Party is moving down that evil road to me. And if anybody votes for Biden, then you're voting for 9 out of 10 people to get killed, which is not even Scripture.
Hmm.
I don't even want to kill half of them.
Why do you say that? Why do you say that, Richard? 9 out of 10?
He's with Bill Gates and them about that eugenic stuff about, you know, the population control.
Reducing population, okay.
Killing 9 and 10 people, you know, like what? What kind of stuff is that? But you can see from his general attitude that he's part of that whole evil plan. He's part of Satan's evil plan in the last days for him to move into us into the tribulation hour.
Okay.
It's all setting up.
Richard, I'm up against a break. Thank you for sharing your thoughts here on that. Part of the Green New Deal, indeed, is that of population control. And it's alarming to see what is taking place across the world in that regard. And certainly Bill Gates has talked about the need to vaccinate everyone, and this will help reduce the population. What's he referring to? Well, we'll be back with more of your comments on the debate. This is Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. See the story recently where a Washington-based attorney wrote a column for the Huffington Post talking about how the death of Ruth Bader Ginsburg and her fear over the issue of reproductive rights led her to join the Satanic Temple? Now, don't confuse the Satanic Temple with the Church of Satan. They want you to believe there's not a lot of similarities. But ironically, the Satanic Temple uses a lot of occultic satanic symbolism. But they also declare that they reject tyrannical authority. What authority would that be, my friends? The authority of absolute truth. And they're very hostile to Christians, particularly those that evangelize with a biblical gospel. This is simply, again, proof that the Democrat Marxist Party and many of the Satanists are indeed carrying out a spiritual battle, a war.
Listening to Crosstalk on BCY America and taking your calls, your reaction to the debate last evening. Let's go right out to Washington State. Barbara, you're on the air.
Yes, I just wanted to say from the very beginning, Biden ridiculed our president by his facial expressions, his laughing at what the president said. And if you remember the facial expressions he had, that was very disrespectful. Hmm. He is not presidential material. I hope nobody will vote for him.
Okay.
And also, I would like to say, I hope that they will demand they check his ears for earbuds or whatever you call those things they listen through to see what his handlers are saying to him next time.
Barbara, thank you for your thoughts here today. And indeed, that was something that the vice president, former vice president's campaign would not allow for. Doug in Pensacola, Florida, you're on the air.
Yes, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call. I think out of all the junk we heard last night, what jumped out at me was when Chris Wallace asked Biden about his reimagining the police, and his response was that he had a vision of police showing up to 911 calls with psychologists and psychiatrists,
yes,
who can keep them from having to use force. I thought to myself, that clinches it for me. I mean, I can't imagine calling 911 and Dr. Phil shows up. I mean, it's just unbelievable. And that's how I took that. That was my takeaway from the debate last night.
Thank you, Doug. Thanks for raising that point. Let's go to Bridgeport, West Virginia. Al, you're on the air.
Jim, thanks for taking my call today. I appreciate it. It was that debate, if you want to call it a debate, it was an argument to me. It was hard to stomach through. Did not change my mind. I'm still supporting the president. But a lot of the callers have touched on just about everything that I wanted to talk about as well. Not backing law enforcement and not giving a straight answer and saying you're for the Green Deal and now you're not for the Green Deal or New Green Deal or whatever. Listen, pray every day, give it to God, and listen, he's got a plan.
Amen.
And that's, we're going to be fine.
Thank you, Al. Ken, in Ashland, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Again, thanks for taking my call. This reminded me of Biden's, right out of the Saul Alinsky playbook. You're lying. He keeps repeating stuff on and on and on. And don't answer the question. Walk around it. And for what everyone else said, I got to agree where Biden's at. He's definitely not my man. But I just wish President Trump would be a little bit more patient. That's all, just to be a little bit more patient.
Thank you, Ken.
Thank you.
Bye-bye now. Mike in Menominee Falls, you're on the air.
Yeah, very interesting. A number of things here. President Trump would interrupt because he was defending against lies or that childish "you're lying" thing, like your prior caller said. But one of the things that I noticed is the moderator would stop President Trump or try to get him to stop in defending himself when he said nothing to Mr. Biden when he did a key, well-known trick or tactic of laughing, and it's ever so disrespectful that he would sit there and laugh at the president, and utilizing laughter against the president to belittle anything that he said. And I think it's just that was his tool, his tactic.
Yeah, it was used many times. Thank you, Mike.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Jackson, Mississippi, Elizabeth, you're on the air.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment
about that woman that called in and said Trump acted like a bully. Well, to her I say, and to everyone I say, Trump had to act like a bully sometime, because even before he was elected, there was a whole army of people against him, doing a character assassination on him and trying to prevent him from helping this country. And God gave Trump the stamina, the strength, and the fortitude to help this country. And so that woman that said he was a bully, she doesn't know what she's talking about, because apparently she's never had anybody treat her like that in her life.
Okay, thank you, Elizabeth.
And America needs to keep on praying for Trump.
Thank you for your comments today. Merle is calling from Tennessee. Your thoughts, Merle?
Yeah, Jim, in a normal debate, there's a rebuttal phase.
Yeah.
Last night, there was no rebuttal phase, and that was a recipe for disaster. And that's why Trump had felt like he had to come back the way he did to answer a lot of them things, because there was no rebuttal phase. That was kind of strange to me.
Yeah, and that's typically what happens with a debate, where you have a minute or 2 minutes to give your spot, your piece, the other person responds to that, and then you have another 30 seconds then to respond, you know, to that aspect. And that goes back and forth in that regard. But you're right, that was not part of the debate guidelines last evening.
And Chris set that up. You know, what happened was Trump owned Chris Wallace back in 16 at a debate, and Chris Wallace never forgot it. And Chris set that up last night. Why he did it that way, we'll only have to, only God knows.
Thank you, Merle, for your call. Pat is next in Wisconsin. You're on the air, Pat.
Hi. I think what struck me was the change in appearance of Joe Biden since his nomination. It seems that there has been a marked change in his health. And I just could not focus very much on his comments, because I was so stunned by the change in his appearance.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That was it. Thank you.
And John, go ahead. You're on the air.
I guess I just wanted to point out what I watched and saw is that Biden didn't answer any of the questions. He ended up getting away from all of it. He didn't have to say what he thought about Antifa, BLM, the Supreme Court choice. He didn't answer any of the questions. Law enforcement support, none of them. He didn't answer a single question.
Okay,
that's my comment.
Thank you, John, for your participation today, and so many of you taking time to give us your reaction to the debate that took place last evening, the first of what are believed to be three debates. We'll find out if more of those are going to be coming forth or not. Certainly we had a very heated exchange last night. And also next week, coming up, the vice presidential debate that is going to be taking place. Again, as some of you have pointed out today, the importance of keeping this nation in prayer. And folks, make sure you've got your plan to cast your vote, whether it be that of sending in an absentee ballot or participating in that, depending on what your state rules are in that regard, or being out on election day. Very, very critical for you to be involved in that process and having your plan, carrying out that plan, as we always say, to be informed and cast a prayerful vote. Thanks so much for joining us here today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Take Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.